The News from Lake Wobegon podcast is supported by Pillsbury Grand Cinnamon Rolls, offering your family the taste of Cinnabon Cinnamon Sunday and every day. You can find them in your grocer's refrigerated section. Pillsbury Grand Cinnamon Rolls, making Sundays special.
Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. It's getting on towards fall. The flowers are turning dry. Nobody's mowing their lawn anymore. There's no need to. It's been kind of dry the last few weeks, though we did get a fabulous thunderstorm here on Wednesday night, very late. Rain pouring down. It's been chilly, and so in the morning there's fog in low-lying areas. There's fog out on the lakes, and you can hear the insects and the fruit flies and the beetles scurrying around, and the toads and the frogs as well. They're all getting ready for the big sleep. Darlene was on her way to work at the Chatterbox Cafe early the other morning when she stepped on a frog on the sidewalk. You're walking carefully not to step on a crack and break your mother's back. And then you put your foot down and you feel a living thing under your foot and that desperate squirming under there. And then you hear the crunch and the splat. And you lift up your foot. And there it lies, something that was living just seconds before. And now you have killed it. It's a frog. She went on to the Chatterbox Cafe, and she walked in and into the kitchen, and she sat down by the cutting board, and she burst into tears. She just sobbed. Her shoulders shook. Dorothy said it was only a frog, for heaven's sake. Last night you ate half a chicken yourself. And that's when Darlene became a vegan. She just had a salad for lunch. And then she kind of slipped a little bit, and she had a little bacon because Dorothy was frying it up, and it tasted so good, so salty. And she never did care for pigs anyway. And there was so much roadkill on the highway, don't you know, that it kind of inured you to death. So many raccoons. Nobody has ever mourned the death of a raccoon. This is a pushy animal who is not afraid of us anymore. And they just walk right into your backyard if you're having a barbecue, as if they expected to be given a napkin and a plate. Our dogs are supposed to defend us against raccoons, but the dogs of Lake Wobegon have become philosophical over the last few years, and they just watch raccoons walk into the yard, deer too. You can hear the wheels going around in a dog's head. And he's thinking, I've got food inside. Very good food, already cooked. I like cooked food. I don't see any reason why I should get into a fight to the death with this raccoon. And he's got big claws on him, and I might get scratched and so on, and then I'd have to eat it. And I hear from other dogs that raccoons taste sort of gamey, and so why go there, the dogs say. And so they walk right into our yard, and our gardens are their salad bar, and they help themselves to anything and everything. What can you do with an animal who isn't afraid of you anymore? It's that time of fall when the wild grapes have come ripe, and the Schroeder family, old man Schroeder and his boys, go out and harvest them. They're just out there on the edge of the woods on the east side of the lake. They bring them in and they crush them and they make wine from them, wild grape wine, which is said to have special properties. The Schroeders are members of the Sons of Bernie, and they get together on cold winter nights around a bonfire in the woods and they drink some of that wild grape wine. And they say, I don't know, but they say it doesn't really make you drunk. It just makes you buoyant. It makes you float. It makes time stop, and you have profound thoughts, even if you can't remember them later. It's a moment of buoyancy, of lightness, and you feel the vibration of the universe in your heart. Nobody else makes wine from those wild grapes. Only the Schroeders do, and every so often they'll walk into the cafe with a mason jar, and they'll offer you a drink. But my people believe in discipline, they believe in self-denial and focus, and hard work. They don't believe in giving up self-control to something that comes in a mason jar. So not many people drink that wine. The Sons of Bernie do, as I say, on a cold winter night. And sometimes they come down to the state fair. The Sons of Bernie is a fraternal organization because when you're having a wonderful time, men do not want women to be around, because the moment you bring women into the picture, you have judges who are judging your deportment and how you look, and they're very critical of men, at least. And so you don't want them there, because whenever you're having a really wonderful time, you don't look that good. Have you ever noticed that? When your heart is filled with joy, you look stupid. And that's just, you check that out. The next time you experience ecstasy, look in a mirror and see if I'm not right. You look dumb. You don't look dignified at all. So you don't want women around. They come down to the state fair and they stay out in a big 36-foot trailer out here in the trailer park. And they just sleep during the day, the Sons of Bernie. And then they have a little wild grape wine. And they have an arrangement with the fair. And they go out after the fair has closed. And they ride the giant slide and the old mill. And they go up on the big double Ferris wheel. And they go on some lovely ride in the sky ride as well, in the little gondola. And they walk around the fairgrounds in just their boxer shorts, which have grapes on them. And they're drinking wild grape wine out of Dixie cups. And they feel so ecstatic, so euphoric, that they throw their arms around each other sometimes, which men from Lake Wobegon do not do. We hug sideways sometimes, but a full frontal hug between two men in boxer shorts is just never seen in Lake Wobegon. But it's a high point. See, to experience joy and festivity is what we're looking for at this time of year. It's what we look for at the state fair. It's why Minnesotans go to the Southwest to get away from people they know, so they can experience euphoria in among strangers with some privacy. And because in Hispanic America there still is a fiesta culture going on. We don't have that. We lost that in the Reformation. Did you realize that? It was taken away from us. We thought the Reformation was a long step towards personal freedom and free will, but it just gave us the free will to see how dumb we look when we're having fun. And so it made us solemn, the Reformation. I'm not sure about the Reformation, if it was a good move. I've not made up my mind. But you go down to Hispanic America, and you go down to the feast day of Saint Bonita, and people are parading in the streets, and they're carrying an effigy of the saint, a great 14-foot-high effigy, and people are scattering flower blossoms, and they're sprinkling wine on each other. And then a woman just suddenly loses control, and she starts to whirl around in a circle and sing in a high voice, and she's throwing blossoms at people, and as soon as the blossoms touch them, they start whirling around, and people are twirling and twirling and twirling, and they get dizzy, and they fall down on people they don't even know, and they lie there in a pile, and then they get up again, and men are taking off their shirts and they're waving them up above their heads, and they're singing, "Este amor apasionado anda todo alborotado por volver." We never do this in the north, but they do it down there in the Southwest, and it's joyful. It's a beautiful thing. That's why people go to the Southwest. It's not because of cold weather. It's so that they can be among strangers and lose their minds and just dance wildly in the street and take their shirts off and whirl them around above their heads. You just almost never see that up in this part of the country. Anyway, Darlene became a vegan for a while. She was a vegan, and she carried on, and then she sort of gave it up. It was eggs that finally turned her around. She thought, you know, to kill an animal, is that worse than forcing an animal to give birth on a daily basis? Really, when it comes to torture. Darlene has never had a child herself, but she remembers when her sister Denise gave birth to that baby that she had out of wedlock, to that no good rat with a long tail. And there she was lying in her bed, Denise, and screaming, and Darlene was there holding her hand, and then out came this beautiful child, and the mother looked at it and said, "Take that away from me. Take that away." And they took it, the child, the little girl, away and saved it for her. Later, she remembers her sister screaming and screaming. Her sister who only would say shucks and darn and oh fiddle, screaming obscenities for 45 minutes. Is this what a chicken goes through? I guess so. So what's death compared to that? So she had a hamburger and she felt a lot better. But to think of that little girl who was born, little Suzanne, she wept for her. To think of that child rejected by her own mother at the moment of birth and the suffering of her sister, Darlene started to weep and to weep and to weep there sitting at the counter of the Chatterbox Cafe. And just to weep for all humanity and for all of our suffering and all of our grief, she just sat there and she sobbed. And then old man Schroeder came in and sat down on a stool with a mason jar in front of him. Darlene said, "What's that?" He said, "Try some. You want to try some of this?" He got out a coffee cup. He filled it up, slid it up the counter. Well, what was she going to do? She drank it. It was nice. And then suddenly, she felt the universe vibrating in her heart. She could feel herself floating. Time seemed to stop. She could feel vibrations from outer space, from Andromeda and Mars and from the Milky Way, from all the planets. She felt beautiful. And then she caught a glimpse of herself in the mirror. She went back in the kitchen. I felt exactly the same way many, many times here at the State Fair, riding the Ferris wheel on a night just such as tonight. I'm not sure I believe in free will anymore. So many things that happen to us by accident are wonderful. So many things we plan are such foolish mistakes. I'm not sure. We just seem to be chips caught up in a stream. Maybe that we just need to accept that. I feel that sometimes when I'm on a Ferris wheel and the bats are flying around in the air and you go up and the city lights appear and then you go down into the trees and you go back up. I've never tried wild grape wine, but I feel that same feeling riding a Ferris wheel. I used to think that faith was sort of like a building block, and you'd put all these blocks together, and you'd build a house, sort of like the little pig built that the wolf could not blow down. And now I get older, and I feel that faith is a matter of surrender. It's a matter of just giving up and leaving that house, and just walking out and experiencing the cold and the rain and doubt and confusion, and trying to keep up your hope and some sense of gratitude. If you just keep up hope and gratitude, maybe that's all you need. I feel that way on a Ferris wheel, going up high, high in the air. It's almost as good as wild grape wine. Up you go, and down you go, and over again, and on it goes. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.